Hello and welcome to the Veterinary Secrets Podcast. My name is Dr. Andrew Jones and this is episode 12. In today's episode, I'm going to tell you how and when to treat your dog or cat's abscess at home, answer a listener's question about what else they can do for their dog who was recently diagnosed with kidney failure, and then talk about the amazing benefits of honey and why you should be using it. Now Veterinary Secrets is on iTunes. Go to iTunes and search for Veterinary Secrets. We're also on Stitcher. You can download the Stitcher app and search for Veterinary Secrets, or go to stitcher.com/podcast/veterinary-secrets. I would definitely appreciate it if you subscribe to my podcast and leave a review. You can do so on iTunes or Stitcher. Questions or comments, feel free to post a comment on my blog at veterinarysecrets.com/blog, or you can send me an email, and that's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. And special with part of today's podcast is I haven't been getting a pile of feedback. I'd love to get a little bit more. So for those of you who are listening and you choose to give me a little bit of a feedback, I'm going to send you an extra bonus. I'm going to choose 5 listeners who respond, and I'm going to send them a copy of my book. And so, as I said, you can do so by either commenting on my blog, veterinarysecrets.com/blog, or sending me an email, and it's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. Great, thanks for listening, and now let's get right into today's podcast, abscesses and bite wounds. And partly I'm discussing this today because I recently just helped a neighbor sort of deal with their own animal's abscess and bite wound. Very, very common veterinary condition. Surprisingly, something many of you can be able to treat your dog or your cats at home. In particular, I mean, this same person was given an estimate of somewhere between $500 to $700 to treat their cat's abscess. In the end, we were able to essentially treat it for free. So I want you to take note, listen to what I have to say, and it may come in handy and potentially save you a whole lot of money. What are some of the signs? A red and possibly swollen area appearing on your pet, sometimes puncture marks are visible. There may be bleeding if blood vessels are damaged, or lameness if the puncture affects the leg. Common in cats who have been in cat fights, abscesses often occur at the base of the tail. As the cats run away, they're bitten in the rear. What are the causes? Your pet's teeth, both dog and cat, are very sharp, and even small punctures can lead to abscesses. The mouth is a large cauldron of bacteria, and when your pet is bitten, you know, these just multiply into an abscess. The first thing is just knowing when to see your veterinarian. You know, if your pet is very lethargic, not eating, drinking, see your veterinarian immediately. Bacteria from the abscess can spread through your pet's body, giving your pet something called septicemia or blood poisoning. If your pet has a large swelling that is not draining, you must see your veterinarian to have it drained surgically. But for most cases, many of the abscesses already have a draining area. Abscesses that are open and draining and small bite wounds can be safely treated at home. So the first thing is trimming the hair around the bite wound or the abscess. Trim large sections with sort of these blunt nose scissors or trimmers if you have them. You want to really keep them very clean if possible. Put your pet in the sink or a bathtub and run lukewarm tap water in the bite or abscess for 5 minutes. And if your pet won't tolerate running water, you can just use a damp cloth or sponge. You can also go ahead and purchase some antiseptic soap. I quite like something called Hibitane. The actual name of the antiseptic is called chlorhexidine. It's available at everybody's local pharmacy, and then wash the area really well. I can't de-emphasize that enough, is the importance of trimming the hair and opening it up. You need to give a spot for that abscess to drain. So many times that was part of the issue. An animal has got a bite wound, it's infected, but the hair is matted next to it, and it's keeping the abscess in. If you're able to trim the hair around it and then clean it up with an antiseptic, that will heal many of an abscess. Staying open, the most important thing you can do to prevent the bite from turning into a costly abscess is to vigorously scrub the puncture wound with a damp cloth and an antiseptic soap, such as the Hibitane I talked about. The puncture marks must stay open for at least 3 days to drain properly. For large abscesses that are open and draining, keep them open for at least 3 days after you have thoroughly cleaned them and clipped the surrounding hair. When to lick, when not to lick. I'm often asked that. Is it okay to let my dog or my cat lick? Yes, the saliva from your pet's tongue does contain antibacterial properties, so this can prevent initial abscess formation. But if they're just not leaving that alone, they're just constantly licking, then you need to put some type of collar on. And then once the abscess has essentially done all the draining, you want the skin to heal over, you need to stop them from licking too, because they're going to prevent the skin from closing. So my general rule for the most cases, initially licking or cleaning that wound is okay with a dog or a cat, but after that first day, you're going to need to put some form of collar on. Golden seal, this is a topical traditional antimicrobial herb. You can apply drops from the tincture twice daily until the abscess is healed. Oregon grape, it's another topical anti-inflammatory. You can get it as a tincture formation. You can apply drops from that twice daily to the abscess. There's a homeopathic called Heparsulf. I've used it many times, especially with cats with hill-based abscesses, and it's one in particular used for an abscess that is foul smelling and painful. The dose for a cat dose would be 130c tablet 2 to 3 times a day for 3 to 5 days. The other homeopathic is called Selacia. It's another top homeopathic remedy for wound healing. I mean, it's more the second most common homeopathic used for abscesses. The dose, once again, is 130c tablet given twice daily for 3 to 5 days. In both cases, what they're helping and doing and working is actually help drawing the abscess out of the skin, draining all that pus and the purulent debris. The one last thing I want to talk about in terms of abscess healing is the use of honey. So two things. The first big principle that I just mentioned is we need to open it up, drain it, get that bacteria out. Honey itself can help in two different ways. So you can apply, I want you to use the unpasteurized dark honey. You can get that from a whole bunch of different places. And you can actually apply that directly to the wound itself, cover that entire abscess area. So it's antibacterial and it'll deal with the bacteria that are present, which is what you're wanting to do. And it's something where I want you to clean that wound first. You can then liberally apply the honey all over that wound. Ideally, you can repeat that twice a day, but it's very uncomfortable for your pet and they're resisting a lot. Then just do it once a day. Once the honey is going to then it'll be antibacterial, deal with the bacteria. And then the next thing that honey is going to be doing is then actually helping to speed up wound healing. So then it'll help the skin grow over. So of all the different things you're going to take from this, I want you to understand first, know when to see your veterinarian. You've got a very sick dog or cat. They're not eating. They're not drinking. They need to have veterinary care. But assuming they aren't eating and drinking, they seem okay otherwise, then consider some of these remedies. I wanted to answer this now, a client's question. And the question came in saying till recently they had a dog who was fine, then all of a sudden stopped eating. They wonder if it was relating to the heat being far too hot. They took their dog to the veterinarian, they did a blood test, and the dog was diagnosed with extremely high blood urea and creatinine. And those are two parameters that we're measuring kidney function. So the diagnosis was acute kidney failure. There can be a number of causes. It could be from medication. It could be from sort of some unknown disease. It could be from a toxin. For instance, here in North America, antifreeze is not as a common cause of acute kidney failure. There's a number of different plants that can affect the kidneys. So currently the client is saying that their dog is undergoing fluid therapy under the suspect that it's acute renal failure, and they're asking, is there any other options? So I wanted to talk a little bit about kidney disease in general and say, yes, there are some other options. First, your signs. Typically your dog or cat is drinking much more water and urinating more often. They may be losing weight, specifically loss of muscle mass as the kidneys lose protein. As kidney failure advances, your pet may become weak due to anemia. There may be decreased appetite due to a buildup of toxins in the bloodstream. In advanced cases, your pet will be dehydrated and completely off food. In some pets, kidney disease causes elevated blood pressure, which may affect the eyesight. What are the causes? I mean, so the kidneys themselves filter blood in the body. They remove the waste products, such as urea and creatinine, retain essential nutrients, such as potassium, maintain hydration by retaining water. They produce a hormone to stimulate red blood cell production called erythropoietin, and then they produce urine. Most cases of kidney failure are due to the kidneys shutting down for no specific reason. So the better term for that is called idiopathic. In other cases, the cause may be due to a genetic disease such as kidney cysts found in Persian cats, severe bacterial kidney diseases or infections, and then toxins such as antifreeze of the plant. There are no signs of kidney failure until 70% of the kidneys are no longer functional. So what do you do? Obviously, the first thing, if you've got a dog or a cat with any of these signs, you're seeing your veterinarian, in terms, especially with the above symptoms. The next thing, if you're looking at acute kidney failure, then your pet needs to be on IV fluids to flush out that urea, creatinine, and get fluid back flowing in through those kidneys again. But then there's some other additional remedies that you should be considering, especially if we're dealing more chronic cases of more chronic kidney failure. The first thing is probiotics. Azadil, it's a natural probiotic for the reduction of toxins that increase in kidney failure, also known as azotemia in dogs and cats. These probiotics metabolize and flush out the uremic toxins in the bowel. They slow down uremic toxin buildup in the blood and help prevent further kidney damage. In practice, I saw this used very often with a number of dogs and cats responding. The Azadil dose is 1 capsule per 10 pounds daily to a maximum of 4 capsules per day. Phosphorus reduction. In the early stages of kidney disease, the single biggest mineral that damages the kidneys is phosphorus. This mineral speeds up destruction of the remaining kidney cells. One of the big keys to lowest phosphorus is one looking at diet, feeding a diet lower in phosphorus, and then use a couple of specific phosphorus binders. So a phosphorus binder, period. So one that I really like is called aluminum hydroxide. The abbreviation is ALOH. It's a phosphorus binder that can be used to reduce phosphorus levels in cats and dogs with renal failure. It's odorless, tastes tasteless, very inexpensive, can be mixed up with food. And it's dosed to affect. There's a recent Waltham study that found that of all the variety of things you do, aluminum hydroxide was key in terms of helping dogs and cats with acute kidney failure and chronic kidney failure. The aluminum hydroxide dose is 1/4 teaspoon per 10 pounds daily. Another product which can help lower the phosphorus level and it's available to all of us is called Tums. Many pets with chronic failure, kidney failure, as I just discussed, get these high phosphorus levels. So Tums are calcium carbonate. It will also bind the phosphorus. The dose is 1/4 of a 650 milligram tablet for 10 pounds of body weight twice daily. Anti-nausea meds. Many of our pets, especially when I think of our cats with a chronic kidney failure, they often feel very nauseous and sick. The two primary kidney toxins, urine and creatinine, they can make your pet vomit, drool, generally inappetent. One over-the-counter remedy that has been shown to work especially well is famotidine. It's sold under the brand name called Pepcid. The typical dose is 0.25 milligrams to 0.5 milligrams per pound every 12 to 24 hours. So for instance, a common cat dose would be quarter of a 10 milligram tablet given once daily. And then there's one herb I want to discuss. There's a Chinese herb called Romania 8. It's a Chinese medicinal herbal formula that has shown great results for treating pets with chronic renal failure. The Chinese name is Shen Qiwan. To ensure that it is the proper formula, it should contain Fu Zi and Ru Gi, spelled F-U-Z-I and R-O-U-G-U-I. These two herbs will help reignite the flame of the kidneys. A suggested starting dose is of 1/4 teaspoon per 10 pounds of body weight given once daily. And then there's two homeopathics I want to discuss that can be used for our dogs and cats with kidney disease. One is called Nux Vomica. It's best for those pets that are very ill from kidney failure. The dose is 130c tablet per 10 to 20 pounds of body weight every 12 hours for 3 to 4 weeks. And the other one is called Natmur. It's used in pets that are thirsty, such as in kidney disease, and they may also have oral ulcers, especially when we're looking at some of these acute kidney failure animals. The dose of Natmur, once again, is 130c tablet per 10 to 20 pounds of body weight given twice daily for 2 weeks. Now I want to get into the last section of today's podcast, and in particular it's about honey and the amazing benefits of honey. I was initially prompted to it when I was helping a friend deal with an animal that has an abscess, but also looking at the so many benefits of honey and how I'm feeling lately as I'm been reading a whole lot of scientific information. There seems to be a fairly big pushback in the scientific community, for instance, around things that are not have no specific studies, or the whole issue of vaccines and choosing not to vaccinate. So what I'm finding, or what I'm feeling, is that many of these like really effective remedies that don't have sort of the scientific credence behind them are not being discussed, honey being one of them. Any wound can have honey applied to it, and as I talked about earlier, but it's much more than wounds. So yes, it's a treat. It's also our oldest sweetener. It's an excellent substitute for sugar in our drinks and food. It also has many medicinal uses in treating specific conditions. It's made by bees from flowers. The variety produced by honeybees, the genus is Apis, is the most one commonly referred to and is the type of honey collected by beekeepers and consumed by us. Honey that is produced by other bees and insects has distinctly different properties. You know, it's produced by the bees as their food source. In cold weather, when fresh food is scarce, the bees use the stored honey as their source of energy. It contains many components. It's very rich in nutrients. It's composed of sugars like glucose and fructose, minerals like magnesium, potassium, calcium, sodium, chlorine, sulfur, iron, and phosphate. It contains vitamins B1, B2, C, B6, B5, B3, all of which change according to the qualities, along with copper, iodine, zinc, existing in small quantities. Due to its natural anti-inflammatory effect, it will help heal the wounds more quickly. It also has different plant chemicals that kill viruses, bacteria, fungi, making it a great substitute for wound dressing. It's naturally antiseptic. Raw honey, for example, contains small amounts of the same resins found in propolis. Propolis, also known as bee glue, is actually a complex mixture of resins and other substances that honeybees use to seal the hive and make it safe from bacteria and other microorganisms. Speakers at the first International Symposium of Honey and Human Health, held in Sacramento, January 2008, presented a number of research papers. So there is one. Findings include different varietals of honey possess a large amount of friendly bacteria. These are the good bacteria, probiotics, 6 species of lactobacillus and 4 species of bifidobacteria, which may explain many of the mysterious therapeutic properties of honey. Honey may promote better blood sugar control. Proper fueling of the liver is central to optimal sugar metabolism during sleep and exercise. Honey is the ideal liver fuel because it contains a nearly 1-to-1 ratio of fructose to glucose. Experimental evidence indicates that consumption of honey may improve blood sugar control and insulin sensitivity compared to other sweeteners. The body's tolerance to honey is significantly better than to sucrose or glucose alone. Honey has been shown to be more effective cough suppressant for children aged 2 to 18 than dextromethorphan. That's the typical over-the-counter cough syrup, the cough suppressant. Honey boosts immunity. Research conducted in several hospitals in Israel found that honey was effective in decreasing the incidence of acute febrile neutropenia. That's when high fever reduces white blood cell count in 64% of patients. The wound healing properties of honey may, however, be its most promising medicinal quality. It's been used topically as an antiseptic therapeutic agent for the treatment of ulcers, burns, and wounds for centuries. One study in India compared the wound healing effects of honey to a conventional treatment, sulfasalbutazine, in 104 first-degree burn patients. After 1 week of treatment, 91% of honey-treated burns were infection-free, compared with only 7% receiving the conventional treatment. Finally, a greater percentage of patient burns were healed more readily in the honey-treated group. Honey is composed mainly of glucose and fructose, two sugars that strongly attract water. Honey absorbs water into the wound, drying it out so the growth of bacteria and fungi is inhibited. These microorganisms thrive in a moist environment. Secondly, raw honey contains an enzyme called glucose oxidase that, when combined with water, produces hydrogen peroxide, a mild antiseptic. Honey also contains antioxidants and flavonoids that may function as antibacterial agents. One antioxidant in particular, pinosebrim, which is unique to honey, is currently being studied for its antibacterial properties. Darker honey, specifically honey from buckwheat flowers, sage, and tulipo, contain a greater amount of antioxidants than other honeys, and raw unprocessed honey contains the widest variety of health-supportive substances. So then how do you select honey for you and your pets? You want to ideally select locally grown, raw, unpasteurized honey. I'd advise you go to your natural or local health store or farmer's market. Look for the darker colored honey or honeydew varieties produced by bees that collect the sugary secretions and insect leaves on plants, which is called honeydew. And in veterinary medicine, as I said, you know, it's got a multitude of uses, but for your own pets, the top three diseases are for wounds, wound healing, coughs, and allergies. And as I said about healing wounds, you know, any open wound can have honey applied to it in terms of, one, dealing with the infection, secondly, speeding up wound healing and have that skin closing over. Honey is a cough suppressant, is a natural cough syrup. Lemon and honey can soothe any sore throat. Mix 2 tablespoons of honey, 1 teaspoon of lemon juice, and 1/2 cup of water. You can then give it to your dog or your cat twice daily. Homeopathic cough syrup can also be helpful. Researchers from Penn State, they did a comparison study between giving kids that had these coughs, one, a no treatment, honey flavored, either honey flavored dextromethorphan, or no treatment. So, and then at the end of the study, parents were asked to report on what was working most effective. What they found was significant improvements were seen in the honey supplemented children compared with the no treatment group and the dextromethorphan treated group, with honey consistently scoring the best and the no treatment group scoring the worst. Honey for allergies in dogs and cats. Local honey contains very tiny amounts of pollen. These tiny amounts of pollen are not enough to trigger the allergic reaction in your pet when they ingest the local honey. But each time your pet eats the local honey, he or she begins to build up a tolerance to the pollen. And the thought is that eventually your dog or cat, typically our dogs with allergies, is able to better tolerate the amount of pollen usually present in the environment. So the suggestion then is you can give your dog 1 teaspoon for 10 pounds daily. Do this for 2 months and test the effectiveness. It just needs to be raw, local, unpasteurized honey. Honey for digestion. You can mix honey with apple cider vinegar in equal proportions and dilute it with water. It aids in digestion and eases joint inflammation. Honey for eye infections. You can take honey, dissolve it in equal quantity of warm water, and use this as a great lotion for an eye bath for conjunctivitis. I've used it in my own dog. He responded great to it, the honey eye conjunctivitis treatment. And lastly, for sleep. If you got problems sleeping, a mug of hot milk with a teaspoon of honey acts as a mild sedative, helping you sleep. And your dog if they need to. So thank you for listening to today's podcast. We covered a whole bunch of information today. I hope you found it useful. One, if your dog or cat has an infection and an abscess, listen to the first part. And I strongly encourage you to think about, you know, the whole treatment of it. And, you know, is that abscess surgery necessary or not? whatnot. It's a huge, huge expense. Never mind the fact that it requires your dog or cat to go under anesthesia. So you really need to be thinking about that and looking at some of these alternative options. Secondly, too, if you happen to have a dog or cat with kidney disease, listen to the section on kidney failure. There's a number of different alternate options. At the very least, delay the progression of kidney failure and potentially have your dog or cat eating. And then lastly, do not overlook the benefits of honey. It's huge. And it's one that I need my own personal reminder too. I mean, I'm going to strongly try to incorporate more honey in terms of all my different holistic remedies and how I'm discussing with you. And the last thing is just thank you for sticking through this podcast and listening, and thanks for supporting me. So two things. One, if you've got any questions or concerns, you can send me an email. That's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com, or you can go to my blog at veterinarysecrets.com/blog and leave a comment after today's podcast. And as I said, for five of you who choose to comment, I'm going to send you a copy of my book. So by doing so, is either send me an email, that's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com, or at commenting on the blog, veterinarysecrets.com/blog. Then lastly, I'm encouraging you to sign up for my podcast. You can do so on iTunes or Stitcher, just searching for Veterinary Secrets. Once again, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next week. This is Dr. Andrew Jones.